Thank you for listening to the podcasts from Life Central Church. For more information or to visit one of our locations, go to lifecentralchurch.org.uk.
Just for a few minutes, I want to just talk to you about this whole Easter story. And for many of you, like me, you've maybe been brought up in church and you've been to Easter many, many times in your life. But maybe for some of you, you haven't. And so maybe your frame of reference when it comes to Jesus is maybe you think, well, I think Jesus was a myth, like a fairy tale or a legend. Or maybe you think, well, no, he was a good man. He was like Gandhi or Nelson Mandela. Or maybe for some of you, you've got like a childhood or a teenager frame of reference for Jesus. Some of you, maybe you've been to church before and you haven't had a great experience. And I get that. I've been to churches and not had a great experience as well. Or maybe you think it's just boring, it's untrue, it's irrelevant. Whoever you are, we really believe that Jesus is nothing like that at all. He's not boring, he's certainly not untrue, and he's certainly not irrelevant. In fact, many years ago, I read this in the Guardian newspaper because I'm posh. Now, I only read this quote. And it said this, these abundant historical references leave us with little reasonable doubt that Jesus lived and died. The more interesting question, which goes beyond history and objective fact, is whether Jesus died and lived. And when we started posting out on social media recently about Easter and we went far and wide and then we got a whole load of different comments come on our Facebook page, on our social media pages from people that say, you guys are deluded, it's all myth, it's all fairy tale. No sensible, rational, logical historian believes that. Every single logical, rational, sensible historian believes that Jesus lived and died. That's just absolutely conclusive. The bigger question is, did he die and live? That's the bigger question. And it was Arsene Wenger, the manager of Arsenal, that famously said, Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive. He was talking about football, okay? But you know, in that moment, he said something really profound. Christmas is important. Are we at top at Christmas? But Easter's decisive. He's absolutely right. It's just nothing to do with football. So we're asking this question, ever wonder why Jesus rose from the dead? Maybe some of you, you're not even on the why question. You're at the how question. Is anybody old enough to remember this TV program from the 70s and the 80s? Anyone remember how? I'm really showing my age. You can't even say that now because it's not right politically correct, is it? Because it's like Native American tribes, how? And we won't even do that. But basically, the TV show was originally designed or going to be designed to help pub quizzes, okay? To help people that do pub quizzes. But then they made it a children's program and it was all about science and incredible stuff, and we don't understand how it happens. And so we dig into these things. I mean, how does that work? You know, how's that true? How does yawning happen? And why can't I control yawning? You know, and questions like this and technology and stuff. And how is important? And Luke did a great job in that sketch that he wrote himself in the courtroom, looking at some of the how and some of the evidence. And I love all of that. The evidence for the resurrection is overwhelming. And I could speak for hours on this. I'm not going to talk about that. Maybe park that for a moment. Don't think so much about the how, because if we believe in God, then any how is possible, right? I mean, if we believe in a God who created the heavens and the earth, then any how is possible. Let's think more about the why. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? And we're intrigued and we're impressed with how, but we're changed and impacted and transformed when we get the why. And one of the early Christian writers was a guy called Paul. And Paul didn't really believe Jesus rose from the dead either. Paul was a Jewish person who was trying to protect the Jewish faith. And when the followers of Jesus, after the resurrection of Jesus, they started this movement of Jesus followers. It was called The Way. Literally, it wasn't called the church. It was called The Way. It became the church. And Paul did everything he could to stop it. Everything he could. And then one day, he met the risen Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus that he wasn't expecting, that he wasn't prepared for, that he wasn't looking for. He just met Jesus. And it so turned his life around Then he didn't only become a follower of Jesus, but he started churches all around the world, all around the then known part of the world in the Roman Empire. And these churches were in towns and cities, and he wrote little letters to them. And one was in a city called Corinth. And he wrote these few words that I'm going to read to you to the people in Corinth. And he said this: if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, Paul says, if the resurrection is not true, your faith is futile. It's empty. It's meaningless. And you are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, if you're not quite sure of this and you're not quite sure of that and you're not quite sure about maybe creation and where do dinosaurs fit in and science and all that's important. If you miss all of that, don't miss the resurrection. Because if you miss the resurrection, you miss everything. And so Paul is saying this is the most important thing. And I want to give you four reasons why I think Jesus rose from the dead. Why God raised Jesus from the dead. Number one, he rose from the dead to prove that he is the real deal. You see, Jesus made some incredible claims. He claimed to be able to forgive people from their sins. He claimed that he could heal people of their diseases. He claimed that he could enable you to have a relationship with God the Father and that you and your spirit would have an eternity with God. He made some really big claims. But if the man who predicted his own death and resurrection actually pulls it off, I think he's the real deal, don't you? So because he lives, we can trust him. Because he lives, you can trust him. You with that really bad health diagnosis, you with that bad family situation, you with that really difficult work situation, you with that challenging financial situation, you can trust him because he lives. Because he lives, we can trust him. As Monique sang, not just for tomorrow, but for today as well. That's the first reason he rose from the dead. But secondly, I believe he rose from the dead so that we can be changed. The Bible puts it this way. Again, Paul, the same guy, he writes this to Rome, to the church in Rome. And he said, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes into you. In other words, if God, by his spirit, raised Jesus from the dead, that spirit of God, lives in you if you know him. That means we can be changed. And we've just baptized a whole load of people last Sunday who are all saying, hey, God is starting to change my life. And the incredible thing is that when the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, that enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. And I don't mean like superpowers. I don't mean flying and being invisible and all of that. I mean forgiving the unforgivable. I mean loving the unlovable. I mean breaking the unbreakable. And there are people in this room and many, many people all around the world, millions of people who will say, once I couldn't forgive, but now I have. Once I couldn't love, but now I do. Once I couldn't break this, but now it's broken. Not by my effort, but by the power of the Spirit of Jesus. Because he lives, we can be changed. Isn't that good news? But then there's a third reason. Because he lives. You see, he rose from the dead, I believe, so that we could have hope. We need hope, don't we? We need hope so much. And the hope had gone for all of the followers of Jesus when they put him in the tomb. And on 3 days later, on the Sunday, you know, nobody was expecting nobody when they turned up at the tomb. I mean, they just weren't expecting that. They came to look at the body. They thought that Jesus was dead. They saw him dead and buried. All hope had gone. And then the stone was moved away and the grave clothes were there and the tomb was empty. Isn't that amazing? And so we can have hope because he lives. And you know, a guy called Charles Swindle, he wrote it this way, and I'm going to read this whole reading out to you. He said this, and I'm hoping and praying that some of these lines that God is going to use in your life today. He says this: when we're trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to the light at the end. When we're overworked and exhausted, hope gives fresh energy. When we're discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we're tempted to quit, hope keeps us going. When we lose our way and confusion blurs the destination, hope dulls the edge of panic. When we struggle with a crippling disease or lingering illness, hope brings the reminder God is still in control. When we find ourselves unemployed, hope tells us we still have a future. When we're forced to sit back and wait, hope gives us the patience to trust. When we feel rejected or abandoned, hope reminds us we're not alone. We will make it. And when we say our final farewell to someone we love, hope in the life beyond gets us through our grief. Because he lives, we can have hope. Isn't that good news? Am I the only one excited about that this morning? I hope not. Because he lives, we can have hope. Come on. And that means that for you watching online, you in Clibbury, maybe you're in the middle of a tough situation, but because he lives, whatever you're in is not the end. It's really not. Even death itself is not the end. That's why the Bible often says that when we die, you know, hey, we want to be here. Paul himself says, I want to be here, but you know what? If I die, then I'm there and I'm with Jesus forever. So it's like I win either way. Like I'm here with Jesus and in the life, or I'm there with him in eternity with no pain or sorrow or sickness or death or frustration or rejection or racism or any of that stuff. So if I'm here, I can have hope. But even death is not the end because Jesus lives. Because he lives, we have hope. And finally, he rose from the dead, ultimately for you. He rose from the dead because he loves you. And he loves every single one of you online. He loves every single one of you in Clibbury today. He loves every single person. You know, one of my favorite bands is Coldplay. And in 2005, their classic song, Fix You, was written. And Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow were together, and her father had died. And Chris Martin said, what can I do to help? And she just said something like, hold me close, or something like that. And out of that encounter, he wrote the song, Fix You. And I love the song, but I think it's like, really, you know, can any natural human love really fix us? I don't think so. And of course, a few years after that, they broke up their relationship, and they called it not a divorce. They called it, and I'm going to read it out here, a conscious uncoupling. Okay. And I'm not judging. I'm just merely saying no human love can fix us, right? No human love can fix the human heart. And we often think that if we meet that person, that special person, that they will complete us. And we have that phrase, but that's a really, really dangerous phrase, because you're only completed when you come to the completer. And the completer is the creator and the one who created you for a relationship with him. That's the only love that can truly, absolutely fix us. And there is a love of another kind, not a romantic love, but the love of God. And the Bible says that, and you might say, but I don't believe in the Bible, but that's okay, because billions of people around the planet do. So just for a moment, even if you don't believe in the Bible, just hold that to one side. And just, if it is true, what does it mean for you and what does it mean for me? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? That he wrote a nice song. God so loved the world that he had an emotional, warm, tingly feeling towards it. God so loved the world that he painted a picture or wrote a poem. No, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And he didn't just stay buried and dead. He rose again because of you. He rose again, and it was God saying, I love you, I want relationship with you, and not even death is the end. And so because he lives, we can know God. And you can know God today. And if you know this message to be true, you can know this message again true in your life. You know, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago in Paris, in France, there was a hostage situation, a terrorist hostage situation. And there was a French policeman called Arnaud Beltrame. And he was actually a man of faith. He was raised as an atheist, but he converted to Christianity later in his life. And he was in his 40s, and the story goes that he exchanged his own life for one of the hostages, a lady who he'd never met. And in the exchange of his life for that hostage's life, she lived and he died. She lived and he died. And his brother said of him, he gave his life for a stranger. He must have known he had no chance. If that doesn't make him a hero, I don't know what does. And that is a heroic act. But what God has done in Jesus on the cross and then raising him again from the dead is way bigger than just that heroic act. And one of the other people that saw Jesus and was an eyewitness to Jesus, a guy called John. In fact, he was one of the two guys, Peter and John, that ran to the tomb that day and saw that the tomb was empty. He wrote these amazing words. He said this, "This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him." This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Because he lives, we can know God. Isn't that great? Because he lives, I can know God. Because he lives, you can know God. Because he lives, you can know God. Because he lives, you can know God. And you can know God today. You know, one of the stories I love, and I've been reading it this week, I've read it hundreds of times, but I've read it fresh again this week, is when Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and she can't find the body and she's distraught and she's crying, and Jesus appears to her. And when he appears, he asks her a question and then he uses her name. And I love that. He says, "What's going on with you? Why are you crying? What's going on in your life?" And then he uses her name. And I want you to know, and I think God wants you to know, that that same Jesus is here today by his Spirit, and he would want to ask you a question. Why are you crying? Why are you anxious? Why are you stressful? Why are you wondering? Why, whatever it is for you. And then he would want to use your name, because he knows you and he loves you. And he went to the cross for you and he rose again so that you could know God. So I want to pray, and then we are going to sing and we're going to celebrate this incredible resurrection. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond maybe in your own heart and in your life. And maybe there's three things. Maybe if you do believe, okay, and you believe this to be true, then I want to say, hey, celebrate it again today. Live in the light of the resurrection. Make the resurrection again, not just a one-off thing that we celebrate once a year, but a daily experience with the risen Jesus. If you do believe, if you cannot celebrate and worship on Easter Sunday, you are in trouble, all right? If you believe this story to be true. So if you do believe, celebrate and live in it. Maybe you did believe. Maybe you did. As I was praying, I thought, actually, I think there'll be a lot of people here today, a lot of people watching online, who did believe and who did walk with Jesus and who did know this story was true. But now you don't. Now you're not so sure. You've kind of parked it because maybe life has got busy or overwhelming, or actually you've been hurt or you've been let down by God, or you think, or by people often. And so you did believe, but now you don't. What a great day to start believing again. What a great day to start following again. So if you do believe, celebrate. If you did believe, go again. But if you don't believe, I want to encourage you to take a step. And there could be lots of steps you could take, but one step is this: come back. Be curious. Just come back. You know, next week we're looking at Ever Wonder Why We Doubt. And I'm going to look at why we doubt, because many of us do. And you might think, well, I don't think I can believe in God because I've got all these doubts and questions. Well, that's great. So have I. And I do believe in God and I'm following him, but I've still got doubts and questions too. And doubt can be a doorway to greater faith. And that's what we're looking at next week. So your challenge is this: if you don't believe, but you want to take a step, take it and come back. If you do believe, celebrate like crazy. If you did believe, today's a great day to start following again. If you don't believe, take a step. I want to pray for you, and then we are going to celebrate and we are going to worship and sing and rejoice. And if for you this Easter is particularly painful because of family situation, because of circumstance, because of health, I want to pray for you as well as we pray in this moment. So can we pray? If we bow our heads just for a moment. Father, I thank you for your incredible presence by your Spirit. I know that's true because you've risen from the dead. Jesus, you are alive. And because you live, we can face tomorrow. But because you live, we can also face today. Because you live, we have a future. Because you live, we have a present right now in this moment. And so, Lord, I pray for every single one of us that on this Easter Sunday, that we would know your risen presence in our lives. That we would know, we would be captivated again by the why. Not just the how, but the why that you rose. You rose from the dead. So that we would know you're the real deal. So that we can be changed. So that we can have hope. And so that we can know you. And so, God, I pray that on this Easter Sunday, 2024, that we would all be captivated again by your incredible presence. And that we would know that if we put our hope and trust in you, that God, this isn't just a message that lasts a day or even a month or a year. This is a message that goes on forever. And we get to spend all eternity with you. And that starts today. So Jesus, I pray that by your Spirit, you would come. And as we worship and celebrate you now, God, may we know your presence in this place. The risen Jesus, in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you're willing and able, would you stand?